We are in a very real battle. A battle that we as a church, as believers, must be aware of. I believe the world has no idea. I believe the world doesn't realize the intense battle that is going on. Why? Because they're already blinded. They're already slaves of the enemy, of Satan. They have no idea. As you're turning there, I don't know if you had a chance, but I watched the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the Science Guy. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. But I was able to tune in for most of that. And as we talk about this concept of a spiritual battle, it became very apparent to me as the debate wore down. If you haven't watched, I encourage you to check out the very end. They had closing statements. And Ken Ham, he believes in a biblical creation, and it was a debate between creationism and evolution, basically. And Ken Ham had the first closing statement, and then Bill Nye closed with the second, and he basically had the final word. But it was so striking, the comparison and the difference between their concluding statements. Ken Ham, a lover of God, a lover of the Word, and he was unashamed to refer to the Scripture throughout the debate. And in his closing remarks, he stood by the Word of God as the final authority, and he stood by it, and he offered the hope of the gospel that is found in its truth, in the Word. His final statement was statements of hope, of statements of truth and assurance in the Scriptures, of hope in God. Bill Nye had his chance, and he came up, and he said words such as these. I'm not quoting, but he said something like, "I find great joy in our universe. I find great joy in discovering new things. We are the universe, and we keep discovering new things." And he went on with that kind of mantra. But what was absolutely missing was hope. You see, what man has is all they have. What they observe and what they see nothing beyond it. And it saddened my heart to realize that there are countless millions of people across this world, around this nation, that's where they are. They are slaves of the enemy, slaves of sin. They don't even realize it. We as a church are here. We are here to be down on those doors, to shine that light, to be a reflection of Christ's light in this world. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I read verses 18 and 19 because that gives us the goal, that gives us the mission for us to be declaring boldly the gospel. And I was blessed as I watched that debate and I saw Ken Ham as he stood there unashamed of the truth of the Word And you can guess what all the critics are saying. You can guess that they bash such a stance on a book that Bill Nye kept referring to as an ancient text that has contradictions. And you know what, dear ones, listen. We need to be praying for one another because we have been called to declare boldly the gospel. And we are to be praying for one another because we are in a battle and we desperately need to keep focus and to stand in the power of His might. Are you praying for one another? Are you praying for your pastor? Are you praying for your husband or for your wife that they might stand strong in the power of God's might today, this week as they go to work? We've looked at the different parts of the armor. We've looked at the first three, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and the sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace. If you remember correctly, we talked about the truth as a standard. The truth is God's standard, and that standard is revealed as righteousness. It's Christ's righteousness. Indeed, dear ones, let us remember something, that this righteousness is something that is given to us by God, and then it is something that we are to be expected to live out as God's children. Because God gives us His righteousness, we then can live it out for the glory of God. The sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace reminds us that we have a firm foundation in the gospel of peace. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of peace. For you, believer, you stand in peace, in a peaceful relationship with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have that firm footing and therefore ready and prepared to move forward and advance so that others might know the gospel of peace. You see, I believe the Apostle Paul referenced the sandals and connected that with the preparation of the gospel of peace because it is upon the feet that we stand and it is upon the feet that we advance. And we must move forward, pressing on, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. Looking at our text, it says, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I don't know if you guys have Nerf guns in your house, but we do. In fact, we have a lot of them. And people keep giving us new Nerf bullets. And if you're not careful at times, you'll get hit because, you know, it's a battle. We got boys and they battle it out. And there can be bullets flying all over the place. You know, the safest way to walk through the house is you get two books and you go like this and you just kind of walk. I'm kind of making exaggerations a little bit. But, you know, we could laugh about that reality, but the truth of the matter is, in the spiritual realm, there are bullets flying at us all the time. Darts. I was looking at, just doing a little bit of research on the Roman armor. And indeed, they would carry darts at times on the backs of their shields. It was interesting. They would actually have little darts that would be weighted in the front and they would be clipped onto the back of their shields. And it would be something that they could use, take off and throw at the enemy. And that was, it's an interesting concept to think about. The reality is that these flaming darts are quenched by this shield of faith. Now, quenched, you understand, is they're put out. They lose their power and significance when they are confronted by the shield of faith. Now, in this verse, it says, above all. At first read, you might say that this is the most important piece of armor, if you look at that language, right? I'm gonna choose a little bit different translation to look at it because this word can be translated different ways in that it's not necessarily it's the most important, it is something that is overall. The shields that we're talking about were shields that were fairly large in size and were slightly concave. And the shield would be something that could cover pretty much the entire body of the soldier. In fact, when they would be advancing and the enemy would fire arrows, they would kneel down on their knee, they would put their shields up like this, and the arrows would go over them or hit their shields and be rendered useless. Well, this shield of faith is something that would be over top and an overall protection for the soldier. So picture this. In the spiritual realm, the importance of the shield of faith is absolute in that it is overall and that it is a protection from these flaming darts that come. Now, the shield of faith. Think about faith for a while. Faith. Faith is that, as Hebrews says it, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is something that you are believing on based upon some promise, based upon some truth. There's that word truth again. Remember, the truth is the standard. The righteousness is that standard revealed. The gospel of peace is our motivation and purpose, and the shield of faith is that way in which we are protected and strengthened by God. Now, dear ones, let us remember that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, as you can tell, all of these pieces of armor are key. I mean, the passage tells us, put on the whole armor of God. They all are significant. They all go together. As we talk about faith, I took some time to just write some notes about what faith means or what faith is according to just the book of Ephesians. We're going to just take a brief journey through the book. Go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Do you realize, dear ones, that faith is an observable marker of one's relationship with God? You see, Paul is recognizing here the believer's faith. It was an observable marker. You see, in the text that we're looking at, Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take up, receive unto yourself the shield of faith. Picture a soldier that is in a battle. He's got his shield, but he doesn't pick it up. Of what good is the shield? Oh, it might protect his feet. The important thing is you pick this shield up. It needs to be an observable marker of who you are, of your relationship with God. And so faith, therefore, is your protection, as you believe in the truth in Jesus Christ. It is a protector. It is a marker of one's relationship with God. Look at chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is the conviction of truth. It's the conviction of truth. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Faith enables bold living and confident access to God. Verse 17 of the same chapter, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Faith enables us to know Christ's presence within us through the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting that you realize something. Even this concept of the spiritual armor, it means nothing without faith. I mean, you have to have faith to believe this. I mean, just step outside of this church here and be a stranger that would hear a message like this and have no context. And here we are, people talking about some pieces of armor that we're supposed to put on that aren't really pieces of armor that you can touch and feel. But these pieces of armor are really supposed to protect you. You know, it really is a kind of a crazy concept, isn't it? But listen, if you are a person of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will believe and understand the reality of the spiritual battle and therefore the necessity for protection, so God provides it. The spiritual armor. Chapter 4, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. There is one true faith, not many. Faith is unifying in its uniqueness. Let me say that again. Faith is unifying in its uniqueness because it's unique, because it's the only one. It is unifying to those of us who embrace it as truth. Chapter 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith enables love to be evident. God's kind of love. Church, this text in Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that there are flaming darts coming at us. It tells us that they will be coming at us. So we must not be naive. You dare not advance and head out of this place without understanding the reality and the danger that you face as a believer of Jesus Christ. You're pressing into the Satan's realm, and we need God's protection. Notice, I'm back in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, notice the words here, wherewith you shall be able to quench, what's that next word? What's it? All. It's all? All's all, right? It's all. I'm just repeating all because it's all. Because it says all. Because you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, believer. All. Are we getting that? All, everybody say it together. All of them. I'm so blessed by the Word of God and the fact that it gives us such hope and encouragement, because life is hard and the battle is real. It's there. But God's protection is sure. It's thorough. All the darts of the wicked one. This concept of faith is something that reminded me of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you have not read Hebrews chapter 11, I encourage you to do so this week. Hebrews chapter 11 is a listing of saints, a listing of people that lived lives that were against the flow. They were men and women of faith. And if you read that text, you see these words, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see another verse that says, by faith the elders obtained a good report. By faith the elders, those people that went before us and were faithful to the Lord, by faith they received a good report. They had a good testimony. In that same chapter, you see a listing of people that went through horrible persecution and suffering, and they stood firm. Why? Because they had a faith. Do you realize, dear ones, that there may come a time when your life is put on the line because of your faith? Do you realize there are people in this world whose lives are put on the line, who are imprisoned, who are separated from their families because of their faith, because of their belief in Jesus Christ? And those people are standing firm and standing strong because they've got faith. They have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They know there's a standard. It's God's truth. And it's manifested in righteousness of Jesus Christ, and they live that righteousness. And they're unashamed about that righteousness, and that righteousness puts their lives in the bullseye of persecutors. They advance proclaiming the gospel of peace, and they can do so with confidence because they have the shield of faith. So can you, so can I. So must we, so must I. The shield of faith. I want to remind you as well of what 1 John has to say about faith. In 1 John chapter 5, listen to what it says. 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to be an overcomer? Victory? It's faith. It's our faith. The shield of faith. Well, the next piece of armor is the helmet of salvation. We know the helmets protect the head. We know that the head is a vital part of the body. It directs everything else. You lose your head, you lose your life. Helmet of salvation. Here's what I take from this and how I've been encouraged by this truth. And I believe that the helmet of salvation is our assurance. It reminds us of who we really are. It's our identity. We are forever marked as God's. The Roman soldiers would often wear crests on their helmets, marking their different regiments and sections and their ranks. It would be readily seen. It was a clear mark. The helmet of salvation stands for us as its reminder of who we are, and we are secure in Jesus Christ. Salvation. Whenever you hear that word salvation or saving or deliverance, the idea comes to mind that there is somebody in peril, somebody in danger, and they have been rescued, they have been delivered from that danger. Believer, do you remember that? Do you realize that? Do you live every day with the reality, I have been saved? Saved. Sometimes I believe we as Christians, that term has lost its meaning because we say it so often. We've been rescued. We've been delivered. And as a result, we are secure. We are assured of security in God's power and grace. The helmet of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." Believer, the battle's intense. And you've got the truth. You've got righteousness. You've got the gospel of peace. You have your faith. But God gives us more. He gives us the assurance and the hope of our salvation, of our eternal security in him. I don't know about you, but that means a lot, because in the midst of the fight, it's something special to know that in the end, I'm going to be okay. in the end, I'm still going to be standing. I'm going to be standing on the victor's side. That's where I'll be. I have that assurance. We're overcomers. Dear ones, listen. The world has no power against us as we live in Christ. Now, yes, we're going to feel the effects and the pulls, and we're going to have trials and tribulations. The devil's going to throw deception and lies at us. There's going to be people that do evil things to us. There'll be persecutors. There'll be thieves. There are murderers. All of these things come at us. But you know what? We should not fear what man can do unto us, because man is limited. God is able to carry us through. Why? Because we live for eternity. This world is not our home, and we live for eternity. The helmet of salvation, and finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Well, this perhaps is many boys' favorite part, the sword. And it's because with the sword, you are able to advance. You are able to move forward. You notice that primarily these pieces of armor are defensive in nature. Now, I wouldn't say that entirely. I mean, you have the sandals, a very clear picture of readiness and preparation and advancement. Each piece in its defense allows you to advance on the offense. The sword, though, is what pierces into the darkness and enables the line to move forward for the glory of God. Notice it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit. Wow, so significant, believer. The emphasis upon the Spirit in our lives. God's Spirit, the Spirit of God that is living within us. It is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and allows it to have power in our lives and in the lives of people around us. Jesus is an incredible example of this in his temptation in the wilderness. We're not going to take time to turn there, but I want you just to recall what took place. He went out into the wilderness, led there by the Spirit. He was out there for 40 days. He did not eat or drink. And then Satan comes and he gives him three temptations. And Satan, in his very deceptive manner, he advances these temptations in such a way that he seeks to cause Jesus Christ to sin. Now, understanding the background behind this, realizing that Jesus, yes, he is God, but he is also completely man. He has this flesh, he has abilities, he'd be hungry. And so Satan comes and he says, turn these stones into bread. So there it's a craving for Jesus. In his flesh, Jesus is saying, turn them into bread. And Jesus responds with scripture from Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Satan's line the next time is talks about pride. It's up on a pinnacle of a temple, and he says, jump down and let your angels catch you. And you know what? In that one, Satan quotes a scripture, and he does a pretty good job at quoting it. But you know what he does? He seeks to apply it in a wrong way. It's a skewed view. You know, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And sometimes the most dangerous things are those things that are almost true. And that's what Satan does, is he'll get us on those things that are almost true. If they're almost true, then they are entirely of the devil. Jesus, of course, quotes and he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan tempts him again. Bow down and worship me. Satan throws off the cloak and he says, all right, just lay it all out. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. It's kind of ridiculous when you think about it, because really, who has the authority and the power over all of those things? God does. And here Satan is speaking to him. But in Satan's mind, there were his. And indeed, indeed, the Bible does refer to Satan as the god of this world. And he does have a lot of control and authority. But Jesus' response, again, was scripture. Get away from me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The word of God is quick and powerful, Hebrews says, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God must be an important part of your life. Is it? Is it? What do I mean by that? Are you spending time in it? Is the word of God so there in your life that in the midst of fierce storms and tragedies, what comes to mind? His word. Is that true? If you only crack the Bible on Sundays, listen, dear ones, listen, you're missing out. You're missing out. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Listen, the Spirit takes the Word of God that's in our lives and He uses it and applies it in incredible, incredibly powerful ways. Expose yourself to His Word. Make it a part of your everyday life as best as you can. Memorize key passages of Scripture that you find meaningful, that have rendered power and encouragement to your spiritual walk. So the armor of God. Truth is the standard. Righteousness is God's truth revealed. The preparation of the gospel of peace is God's truth declared. Faith is God's truth applied. Salvation is God's truth realized. And the word of God is God's truth utilized. Stand, believer. Stand in the power of His might. He's given you what you need. And I want to remind you as we close, we stand together. As a church, we stand together. Put aside the picture of a lone soldier. Add to your mind the picture of the army. As you advance the gospel together, you individually, yes, you've got to suit up your armor. You've got to take up that shield. You've got to put that helmet on. You've got to wield the sword. Be faithful in all of those things, dear ones. But remember, we advance together as the church of God. And I want to close with these encouraging words from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Praise the Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or power, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we say amen to such a powerful truth. And God, as we have marched through this text, I thank you and praise you for advancing your truth, for sharing your standard with us. And Lord God, I pray that you would encourage your people and equip us to carry forth the gospel. And I just want to pause right now. I want to ask you today, church. I want to ask you today. I want to ask you. You may be here today, and maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about a battle, a spiritual one. Maybe you didn't know it existed. Maybe you realize today that you don't know anything about this armor. You don't have faith. You don't understand God's standard of truth and righteousness. Well, the message today is a message of peace. Dear ones, listen, because we are all sinners, we have, there's a barrier between us and God. That is our sin. That's your sin. But Jesus Christ died that you might have peace with God. His blood gives forgiveness of sins. And dear one, listen today. If you're here today and you now realize there's an intense battle, you realize that you are a slave of the devil, a slave of sin, but God is offering peace to you. He's offering his life and salvation to you. I trust today would be the day you choose to trust in him. Today, let that be the day that you pass from death to life, from being dead in your trespasses and sins to be given life, and that life forever and ever. And believer, the battle is real. Remember this, you stand strong, not in the power of your might, but in the power of his might. That is key. In Jesus' name, amen.